back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. On Mondays, you can catch me live from Capitol Hill House here in Innsbruck, recapping all the crazy and wild football action from the weekend that was college, NFL, and high school. And I got to start by saying this. Hokie Steve's with us here. I tuned in on Thursday and again on Friday, and wow, you were terrific. Great job filling in, and tough shoes there with Gary Hess, but you were terrific, man.
Well, no, thank you, and it's big shoes to fill because Gary Hess has been doing it a long time, as you know, and he's very good at it. And but I'm very blessed to. I've known Gary now for, gosh, you know, 30 years, going back to back when I used to be at, you know, Clear Channel before it was Odyssey. And you know, he told me a couple weeks ago there might be an opportunity because he's going to have a little minor surgery. And but I've also known Chris too. So I mean, we kind of just, you know, play off of each other. But you know, hey, I wish it was a better game Friday night.
That's what
night.
I was going to say.
That's the only thing. I wish it was a better game Friday 57 night.
57-7?
56-7.
56-7.
If you were a fan of the Huguenot Falcons, it was a great game. if you were a fan of the Midlothian Trojans, not so good. And but you know, we had a happy homecoming there for Stubb too. So
yeah.
Even though they didn't roll out the red carpet, which I was hoping for, I think Stubb, you know, it was nice to have Stubb up there in the press box with us.
So it is a victory Monday for the Hokies, and so let's just stick with all things positivity here. And you sat down and you said what? Welcome to college football?
I said, welcome to college football, Tarion Stewart.
174 yards.
174 yards on 15 carries. Now, one carry for 85. But if you back that, you know, back that out, which you still can't do, he still had 14 carries for 90. So he was averaging, before that last run, he was averaging like 6.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And then you factor in Marcel Hawkins on top of that, who had a nice, you know, screen pass out of the backfield for a touchdown. And if both of those two can stay healthy, that's a great 1-2 punch for the Hokies.
Yeah, I mean, if you get 200-plus yards on the ground, you're going to be in most games. Just a great inspired win for the Hokies. Like, that's what I'm most proud of. We talked about the getting rid of Pry after week 3 and not week 4. But
right,
the way it worked, you got some momentum under Coach Montgomery against Wofford, and now they can absolutely write their own history, and they're playing like they're inspired to do so.
Well, that's what Coach Montgomery said. He said, you know, hey, guys, we can't handle what happened in the first, you know, 3 games of the season, but we can rewrite our own script starting with Wofford. They obviously took care of Wofford. You know, they were a 10.5-point dog going down to Raleigh, and I don't think anybody gave them much of a chance. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a new coach, you get the coach change in there, you know, some things change. But what I saw was 60, and he said this too, 60 minutes of complimentary football.
Yeah.
The offensive line was solid. The defensive line was solid. The backs were solid. You know, the linebackers, everything, special teams. Again, John Love, God, I love that guy. Solid. And that you put all that together, and, you know, and I told you NC State gives up a lot of yards, and they do. The Hokies had, you know, over 400 yards on Saturday night, and
yeah,
that's winning football if you don't, and you don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you noticed anything different with the change of coaching staff, but it was just complimentary football.
Yeah.
That was the difference, and finally winning a close game.
Yeah, I know. It goes back to the last time the Hokies won a one-score game, November 19th, 2022. That's how long it's been. And that's crazy. But
yeah,
that's crazy to say it's been almost 3 years. But the reality of it is, it's been almost 3 years. And I got to say, you know, and you know, obviously a lot of plays go into making up a victory. But that Drones pass, when it was 3rd and 8, it was 9.5 minutes left in the game. It was 3rd and 8 from around midfield. When he had an all-out blitz, he flushed out right, and he made that pass to Benji Gosnell. I mean, that's the play right there. They had to have it at the moment because obviously they go down to get the field goal. But that's a play that Drones has to make or did make, and that's why the Hokies – a bunch of other plays too, but that's right there why the Hokies got a victory Saturday night.
Yeah. Looks good to say the 1-0 Hokies in the ACC, 2-3 overall. Any other takeaways you wanted to get to?
You know, again, it wasn't expected. I think a lot of people thought, you know, the Hokies were going to go down there and fold up. But I thought, you know, defensively they did a really strong job against Hollywood Smothers. He came in that game averaging 125 a game,
yeah,
rushing. They held him to 67 yards.
Yeah.
Where was that defense the Vanderbilt game and the ODU game? I don't know. But hopefully, you know, now that Sivkis has had, you know, five games under his belt, we're going to see a lot more of that defense, especially starting this week against Wake.
Yeah, I was telling my buddy, what does it mean that NC State beats UVA,
right?
UVA beats Florida State,
right?
But then Virginia Tech beats NC State.
It means the ACC is crazy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What it means. That's what it means. So, again, the wheel of destiny. They might have to bring out the wheel of destiny again that Reese and those guys had a couple years ago.
Yeah, defensive spotlights like Caleb Spencer, really good with his 11 tackles, 5 sacks as a whole. Just like I said, an inspired performance defensively.
5 sacks. They did. I don't think they gave up any, but they had 5. And I'm blanking on the kid's name now. The kid from DeMatha, the linebacker who had one of the sacks, number 16. He's a freshman. He played a great game as well.
Noah Chambers.
Noah Chambers, thank you. Noah Chambers. He's a DeMatha kid. Just love the effort. If NC State had gone down and kicked a field goal to win it and we had lost another one-score game, we'd all be upset about it. But, again, that effort is what it's going to take the rest of the season. And, you know, look at Wake. I'll watch Wake's game against Saturday against Georgia Tech. If the referees don't screw up that clear offside penalty, Wake beats Georgia Tech down at Winston-Salem.
The ACC is crazy, and Georgia Tech is 5-0, and they look like the best team in the conference. That place is going to be rocking. Blacksburg, Virginia, after a really good victory against NC State, they're always sold out at home. That's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a 1 o'clock kickoff. I think the weather is like 73, 74 degrees and mostly sunny, so it should be a great crowd. It's homecoming. And we've got a lot of football left, as Coach Montgomery said, but it was just nice on a Saturday night to win one. And I think I can get used to this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was great to close out that game defensively.
That was
the big thing,
that
right?
That is 100%
because we've seen it in the last 3 years, like you said, 16 times.
Yeah,
that game ends in a defeat. Because
exactly.
A game-winning field goal.
Exactly.
Or something.
And, you know, when it got to be, you know, when NC State was going for it on 4th-and-1, and C.J. Bailey played well in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some great stats as well. But they had to have like I said, many plays make up a game, but Jones's pass to Gosnell, and then obviously they stopped him. That was their third time they went for it on 4th down. They stopped him 2 out of 3 times.
Yeah. So, great win for the Hokies. Drones with a solid performance,
yeah.
Right? No big mistake. If he avoids the turnover and like completes decent amount of passes, then his ability to run and pick up a first down or two, that's what this team needs.
You know, again, with Stewart, now with Stewart, you would hopefully, if he can stay healthy. Now, he's been banged up. I told you, he's been banged up a lot of August and going into September. If Stewart can stay healthy and then have Marcellus Hawkins to complement him, then Drones doesn't have to go out and be a superstar. He just has to, 20 of 34 for 177, 2 touchdowns, no picks. That's a great night for Kyron Drones.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about Stewart all offseason.
I was.
Look at this box score breakdown. So, week one, he only plays 3 carries, 10 yards.
Yep.
Week 2, 8 carries, an average of 7 yards a pop, 55. And then this week, a first down every time he touches
right.
it for 174 yards.
And that,
imagine if he had started the season healthy.
That would have been nice. And really, when the Hokies had to have another play, as the theme of today, he broke off that 85-yard run. When the Hokies kind of were back on the, 12-yard line, he almost got in the end zone. So, great effort by Stewart. Glad he's healthy. Hope he stays healthy. And they get Hawkins and him going a 1-2 punch. That's going to be pretty good for the Hokies down the road.
Hokie Steve with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning hot seat. It is a victory Monday for the Hokies. We'll go around college football nationally and locally. UVA with a big win on Friday night. How about Ole Miss taking down LSU? That Penn State-Oregon game, even Alabama-Georgia, those games ended within like the same 5 minutes, right?
I mean, the clicker was rolling, right?
Yeah, had to be perfect
with
the last button.
I'm like, NBC, boom. ESPN, boom. I'm back and forth. And, Penn State, look at Franklin's record. I look at Franklin's overall record against top 6 teams. He's like 2-21 now or something like that. I mean, tough way for Penn State to lose, especially because when they got down 17-3, you kind of said ball game, right? But then they came back. They came back and they put it in overtime.
And then an awful interception.
And then a bad interception. Well, the kid made a great play. There's no doubt about it. The kid made a great play. But Drew Aller, I bet he wishes he had that one back.
Absolutely. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. Frank tweets me, "Go Hokies." Absolutely, Frank. Thanks for chiming in. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. You can hear the 804 broadcast game of the week, the home for the Hokies and the Hoos in Richmond, who's talking Mondays here on The Fan, and the Washington Commanders. Richmond's home for the Commanders, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Hokie Steve with us here for another segment as we talk all things college football on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
All right, so let's start with the two games that were featuring top 25 teams that I just thought were fantastic games. We'll start with Oregon, Penn State.
All right.
Did that play out the way you expected it? I know, you know, we were talking about how could James Franklin finally get the big win?
Yeah.
He's at home.
No, I said last Monday I thought Penn State would win the game.
Yeah.
And the score was what, 3-3, late into the third. Yeah, late into
the. The people I was watching with were just making fun of Big Ten football. Because the SEC usually is more defensive, but that Alabama-Georgia game at halftime was like 20 more points.
Yeah, it ended up being a great game, but it started very slowly. But, you know, again, Penn State, you know, whiteout, 108,000, 109,000, whatever it was, they can't get over the hump.
Yeah.
And, Franklin's got he's got a crazy record now, 2-21 or whatever it is against, you know, top six, top seven teams.
And,
so.
they threw a bad interception, but to me that was more Dan Lanning's team went out and won the game than Penn State lost it.
Well, I mean, it says to me that this Indiana-Oregon game now coming up in 2 weeks is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So we'll find out, too. Indiana's undefeated at 5-0, and Kurt Cignetti keeps winning. Just Google him, right? And so we'll see what happens. But that's a big game coming up in a couple weeks. But, Oregon went to Happy Valley and made it unhappy.
So Alabama loses week one to Florida State. A couple victories to get some momentum. And then I expected Georgia to roll over Alabama.
Did you really?
My thought on this was one team's a college football playoff team, one team's not. They looked like they both might be with the way this game played out here. Alabama being able to run the ball, and then Ty Simpson was on target, dude.
That's why they won that game, because of Ty Simpson, in my opinion. I mean, he just made plays.
And Ryan Williams had a few big drops in the game,
he
too.
He did. He had that huge drop, right there where he could have walked in the end zone. But Ty Simpson, is the difference maker that Jalen Milroe was not last year.
Yeah.
And so far, and we talked about Ty Simpson preseason, and then he had a horrible game in Tallahassee week one, but a couple of blowout wins. But it looks like the Tide come back home this week and take on a undefeated 5-0 Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt Commodores. I'm excited about that game. I really am.
Absolutely. Ole Miss defeats LSU 24-19. Lane Kiffin got the big win right there. And
yeah, huge.
His team looks really good.
They are good. They are good. And I still think LSU's pretty good, too. Now, Nussmeier's not what I thought he was going to be. But, Lane and what LSU have got coming up, and they've got a big one coming up. They've got when do they play A&M? They don't play A&M. I'm looking at LSU's Texas A&M schedule, who's also undefeated. It's a great. We're getting into October, man. This is a great time to love college football, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, Tennessee over Mississippi State in overtime. That was terrific. And then we were talking about in the ACC, Georgia Tech over Wake. Was awesome.
That was an overtime game as well.
Yeah.
And certainly, Virginia wins in double overtime Friday night. So it was an overtime weekend, and you got to love college football.
Yeah.
Because right now I hate the NFL.
So I was at UVA against Florida State on Friday night. Really fun tailgate lot there with a lot of people, and then just an awesome back-and-forth game in which, UVA showed a lot of stones, a lot of marbles to get that win right there. And Chandler Morris was terrific. Yes, he had three interceptions, but he won that game not with his arm. With his legs. He chose to run it eight times.
Right.
Every time he ran it, it looked like he got the first down or a touchdown. Three touchdowns on the ground. And we talk about this with Jayden Daniels or Lamar Jackson. The read option's all about reading the defender, reading the edge rusher. He did a terrific job of that.
Hell of a gutsy run in overtime, you know, yeah. When he had, you know, whatever it was, you know, dove in the corner of the end zone to get that touchdown on the board. And then he comes back and makes a great throw on the two-point conversion.
Right.
In the back of the end zone.
That was a big part of the momentum.
Which was reviewed, but, they got it right.
Yep. And then Florida State had one last opportunity, and Deuce Robinson somehow bobbled it, and by the time he caught it, he was out of bounds.
Again, I love what the ACC is doing on their Friday night with the replay.
Yeah.
When they're going to Charlotte and doing the doing the voice talking, you can hear the official on the field. You can hear them back in Charlotte. I hope that all college football adopts that at some point.
I'm so surprised though that he bobbled it, because he was torching UVA all game long. Any third down Florida State needed it, they went to Deuce. 9 catches, 147 yards, and a touchdown, including a big one, 47 yards in the first half when they needed it to come back. And it was like, so I'm watching it with my buddy,
right,
who's a Florida State fan, and I said, they have to go to Deuce Robinson. And he put the double move on the UVA kid, and he was wide open.
Right.
And he just bobbled it. I mean, it's crazy. That was a matter of inches right there.
Yeah, again, college football is a matter of inches and a matter of one or two plays. And certainly, again, I'm hats off to Virginia. I mean, right now, you know, they're 4-1.
Yeah.
They've got a big one coming up this Saturday at Louisville, who's undefeated. The Cards are 4-0, and Virginia's like the fifth in the country with total yards. Louisville's 18th in defense, 18th in the country defense. So something's got to give.
Yeah, but seriously, congratulations to Tony Elliott. Like that, he needed that win. The team needed that win. A fan base needed that win.
If somebody had told me, I said Virginia's going to give FSU all they can handle, I just think the Noles are, 7 points better. But hey, Virginia got it done. Virginia has a way. That was their fourth time beating FSU at night at Scott Stadium over the last 20 some years.
Right.
This goes back to 1995 when they knocked off the Noles when they were number 2 in the country.
Absolutely. We were sitting next to people that said they were at that game,
yeah,
and their kids make fun of them for going every week. Well, now their kids got to experience the same thing. Just a great win for UVA. And like I said, Tony Elliott deserves a lot of credit for that win, because they go up 14-0, and then just in a matter of seconds, 21-14. They lost all of momentum, and I really could have seen that game playing out and Florida State winning 38-14.
But they
get a big drive right before half that gave them momentum, and then back and forth. I mean, that second half was just terrific.
Again, college football Friday night, it's great. High school football Friday night is great. The Hokies got a crack at it coming up here in about a month when they got Cal at home. But, I love the fact that the ACC is playing some Friday night games.
Yeah, let's take an early look at next week. I know we're going to have some really good games in the top 25 in the ACC. I think you have to start with UVA at Louisville.
UVA at Louisville, 3:30. And, So Virginia's 4-1. I think the Cards are 4-0. Louisville has not looked great until they went to Pitt and kind of got off the deck and won that game Saturday. So love Jeff Brohm and love what Miller Moss is doing. But Virginia's going to go. This is a true test for Virginia. See if that come off a huge win at home against a team like FSU, go on the road where they typically don't have success. So we'll find out about the Cavs on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to find out about the whole ACC. Florida State at home against Miami. That would kind of switch up the standings completely there if Florida State gets the win.
Yeah, I kind of believed you said. Yeah, I said last week I thought FSU was the real deal, and you said no. So I'll give you the credit for that one. But the Noles can make it right if they knock off Miami. And certainly this game's in Tallahassee. It's a huge game. I don't know. I got to think about that one for a while. I'm not after Saturday or after Friday. I'm not sold on the Noles, but I'm not super sold on Miami either. Too.
Vanderbilt at Alabama is going to be a great one. What game are you going to?
Well, I'll be in Blacksburg for the Hokies game, but on the way home, I will be definitely tuned in for the Alabama Vanderbilt game. And then should be getting back in time to watch the whole Miami-FSU game as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of great college football coming up this weekend. All right, before we let you go, I'll let you chime in on your Ravens. Are you screwed? Are you going to be a playoff team?
TBD on all of the above. Again, this team is after 4 weeks, has got the second-worst rushing defense in the league.
Yeah.
All right? They were the number 2 rushing defense in the league last year.
Are you making coaching changes?
I think Zach Orr is in over his head. I mean, this last year the Ravens got off to a poor start after Mike McDonald left to take the Seattle job. They bring, you know, he promotes him within, gives the job to Zach Orr. They struggled early in the month of September. They were 1-2 after three games, if you remember last year, and then they kind of righted the ship. The other, they've given up the most points in the league right to the date. After 4 weeks, they've given up 133 points. And the other thing is they forced no turn in the three big games: the Bills, the Lions, and the Chiefs. They forced zero turnovers in all those three games. Yeah. That's not Ravens football.
No, but the schedule does lighten up for the Ravens.
It does, but you've got the Rams coming in 2 weeks, so right. It's not, you know.
Well, and the Steelers have a lead now in the division.
Now they got a 2-game lead, right?
Yeah.
They got a 2-game lead over the Ravens. Is it too late? No, it's not too late because it's still September. But if they don't win these next two games at home, both these games are at M&T, it's going to be a long year. If I'm Harbaugh, I'm probably giving Zach Orr one more week to get it right. The problem is Madubuike is still out. Van Noy is still out. Yesterday, they lost Marlon Humphrey. They lost Nate Wiggins. And they lost Roquan Smith. So I don't know if any of those guys come back and play this week. That's a huge chunk of the defense right there.
Yeah, it's really concerning.
Yeah.
If you're a Ravens
fan.
And,
oh, by the way, and Lamar's banged up. So we'll find out about that later on today.
Hey, you're celebrating the Hokies.
I can't. I want a 2-0 weekend, A1. I want a 2-0 weekend. That's all I'm asking. I haven't had one yet.
I know.
We're getting into October.
You've been listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Steve, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime.
You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, live and local here on a Monday, September 29th, broadcasting from Capital Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. It's Burger Night, back like it never left. Yes, that's $2.95 for a cheeseburger, or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. That's Mondays from 3 p.m. to midnight here at Capital Ale House. So, yes, it is a misery Monday for us Commanders fans. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Once again, I thought Mariota played good enough for us to win this game. It's just frustrating seeing a lack of not effort, but maybe concentration on the defensive end. Too many guys going out there and playing like individually and not collectively as a team. Giving up 400-plus yards to the Falcons and 34 points after, oh, yeah, they score zippity-doo-dah the week before. I'm pissed off. It's a misery Monday on The Fan. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's Mark Schofield to go around the NFL. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Adam? How you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing okay. It's frustrating to lose this game here. And when the schedule came out, I said Washington's got to beat the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. And I get it. We barely beat the Atlanta Falcons last year, even with Jaden Daniels. And so it was going to be a tough task for Marcus Mariota to go in there and get the win. I just thought, they're averaging 14 points per game. We were going to get a much better defensive performance. What were your thoughts on Sunday, Washington, Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, in today's NFL, you score 27 points, you think you're going to win a football game. And it's hard to win a football game when, as a defense, you give up 6 of 12 on third down. And that's difficult for teams to overcome. It's especially difficult when you've got your backup quarterback in. And you're relying on a defense to perhaps pick up the slack, and that didn't happen on Saturday. Now, I think you have to give some credit to Atlanta for a bounce back performance, to Michael Penix Jr. for a bounce back performance. But like you said, this is a defense that couldn't get off the field. They couldn't get off the field on fourth down. You had some communication issues. You had some miscommunication issues. Those add up to a performance where you give up 34 points, where you give up three critical third downs on a late drive defensively. And so you add that all together, it's a game that Washington could have won, perhaps should have won, when you score 27 points in the backup QB, and you don't. That's frustrating, and I understand why you and other Commanders fans are frustrated on what you call this misery Monday.
Mark Schofield with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. My hot take of the day today, Mark, is that there will be a head coach fired tomorrow. And I'm looking right at the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Prime time at home against the 0-3 Jets. Feels like he's going to have to get a win to keep his job. I kind of feel like he saved his job last week with a decent Thursday night performance against the Bills. I think his job's on the line again tonight.
I do feel that his job's on the line tonight. And going into that game against Buffalo, there were some, myself included, that thought, look, if they get blown out Thursday night, primetime, island-type game, this is when it would happen. Now, like you said, I think he sort of saved himself a bit, you know, with a game that looked a little bit closer, played a little bit closer than we thought. But then in the aftermath of that, a lot of the Miami beat writers pointed to this game and said, okay, this is the one he has to have, right? You've got to beat the Jets, a similarly winless team, if you want to save your job. Home game, again, prime time. You've got to win this game if you're Mike McDaniel. So, yeah, if they lose this one, particularly if they lose it and frustrated or embarrassed or whatever the circumstances are, in a fashion that leaves ownership thinking, look, we've made a mistake, we've got to make a big change here, then yeah, this could be the night, or tomorrow could be the day where it happens, because he saved it with that close game against Buffalo. But if you have an embarrassing performance or you lose to a thoroughly winless team in the New York Jets, this is probably when it happens.
What outcome shocked you most this weekend, Mark?
What outcome shocked me most? I mean, a 40-40 tie is certainly shocking. Didn't see that one coming. I want to say that the Chargers coming east and losing to Jackson Dart shocks me, but at the same time, we've been here before, and I was saying this last week on a couple of different shows. I felt like Charlie Brown. Lucy was holding the football in front of me, and what I mean by that is the Chargers are unbeaten, they're looking great, and I'm starting to believe again, and here it happens, right? They come east, they play a rookie making his first NFL start, and they lose. And it happens every season. We buy in on the Chargers, and they turn around and they let us down. Now, maybe this is sort of that early season hiccup where they'll be okay, they'll right the ship. But the injuries are starting to mount. And so I look at that Chargers one. That's one that certainly stands out to me. And I think another one that, you know, maybe isn't surprising, but I think it's time to start asking some questions. You know, where are we with the Ravens? You know, I expected that game to be close, but the injuries there are starting to mount as well. You lose by 17 to a team that was in the same position as you at 1-2 and stared 1-3 in the face. And to go down by 17 points, you've got Lamar now with a hamstring injury. That one was shocking too.
Yeah, only two undefeated teams left, the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to ask you, could you rank top three teams in the NFC? Based on performance, who are the top three teams?
I mean, I think you still have to put the Philadelphia Eagles at one, but it's a one with an asterisk here. I mean, you've got two games this season where you've got negative yet net passing yards in a half. That happened yesterday in the second half. It happened in the first half against the Rams. But I think, you know, they're undefeated, so you put them at one. Two, I think you look at what Detroit's done in recent weeks. You know, the way they've sort of righted the ship. Now, maybe you think, oh, well, they blow out the Browns, they should blow out the Browns. Okay, but you look at what they did the week before coming on the road and beating Baltimore, and that was a pretty convincing win. So I think you put them at two. You know, at three, is it the Rams at this point? I'm starting to believe that, you know, maybe the Rams have something here. It's hard to look at the 49ers as banged up as they are and think they're going to stick around. You know, I'm starting to buy in on the Rams. You could also make a case for Seattle. You know, you look at some metrics, adjusted net yards per attempt. Justice Mosqueda, one of my colleagues at SB Nation, looks at offensive and defensive A&Y/A every week, and they're number one in that metric. So maybe it's Seattle. But I think right now you still, by metrics of a 4-0 unblemished record, you give it to the Eagles as the top team in the NFC.
What are you expecting in the second Monday Night Football game tonight? Bengals with a backup quarterback against the 1-2 Denver Broncos.
I mean, this is a Broncos defense that people expect big things from, and maybe they haven't parlayed that into a better record yet, but going up against a backup quarterback in Jake Browning, who looked very bad last week against Minnesota, I expect more of the same. I think we're going to see a Denver team that gets what they need from their offense, has a big night defensively, and I expect Denver to win this one going away. And you start to wonder, where do we stand with Zach Taylor? It's tough when you lose your starting quarterback to then turn around and say, well, that puts a coach on the hot seat. But we've been here with Taylor. We've been here with Joe Burrow. We've been here with the Bengals before. And if they have another embarrassing blowout loss like they did last week to Minnesota, you wonder just how warm the seat will be under Zach Taylor come tomorrow morning.
Mark, you know, I'm with you on the Ravens. I mean, I expected that to be a really close game. And I said on my show last week, the loser is going to miss out on the postseason. Is there another team that made the playoffs last year that you're worried about right now?
Another team that made the playoffs last year that I'm worried about. You know, looking around the league, Baltimore is the one clearly. I think Denver and Houston are two others where it's time to, you know, obviously Houston, you know, they get their first win, but it wasn't really an impressive win. It's not a quality win over a Tennessee team that, well, Cam Ward said it himself. I'm not going to repeat it. This is a family show. You can find the clip of what he said about that team right now. But the Houston Texans, I'm still a little worried about. Denver, they still have to play tonight. You know, I expect them to win, and I expect them to win comfortably. If they don't, it might be time to start panicking about what we've got in Denver. It might be time to start wondering about, okay, Bodex had a great rookie season, was built in a lab to play quarterback from Sean Payton, but we've been down this road before where a team gets a year of film on a rookie quarterback and they start figuring out what they want to do schematically on the offensive side of the ball. So I think those are the two teams right now, Adam, probably the most concerned about from last year's playoffs teams, Houston. And again, we'll see how they look tonight, but if we get a subpar performance or even, you know, a surprising loss from Denver, Denver would join that list.
Mark, lastly, you mentioned the 40-40 tie. Should the NFL be changing overtime rules? Should we allow a game to end in a tie? I mean, it just feels like you waste a huge opportunity there to make that like the game of the season. Just need a winner, right? It kind of ruins everything to have it end in a tie.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL should start considering or coming up with a plan. I don't think you want to go into a second full quarter. But, I mean, if you want to go down the road of, say, the college rules, if you, you know, get through that first quarter, you can't get it settled, then go to college rules, go to two-point conversions, do something to find a winner. You know, because, you know, having a game like that that ends in 40-40 where it had potential sort of game of the year type atmosphere to it as that game went down the stretch, and then to leave it with just a tie, I think it leaves a lot of people unsatisfied. And so I think finding a way, I don't think you, again, the NFLPA is not going to want a second full quarter of overtime to decide it, but two-point conversions, college rules, some way to decide a winner in a game like that. It deserves a winner.
Mark, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Adam. Have a great week.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Love when members of the AWOD Army stop by to check out the show. Thanks, Jim, for coming by. He had a beer and listened to us, you know, complain about the Commanders on a misery Monday, but also hype up the Hokies and the Hoos on a victory Monday. So I wanted to play a clip here. Brian Mitchell and Santana Moss talking on the post-game show about why the defense sucks right now. The defense sucks right now, and it's so frustrating because that just feels like that's what's going to hold us back from our ultimate goal of either winning the division or getting to the playoffs or getting back to the conference championship game or even winning a Super Bowl, not with this defense. It's giving up so many yards, giving up so many points to a team that it was averaging 14 points per game. And we all saw it against the Packers. They showed that you can overload Washington on one side, and if the quarterback has time, there's going to be somebody open. And this team has been destroyed by tight ends all season long. Tucker Kraft, awesome. Kyle Pitts, we made him look like a star yesterday. Here's Brian Mitchell and Santana Moss.
This defense has to realize what Atlanta did today.
Everybody's going
to try that until they figure that out. And this is everybody thing, from coaches, players, all of it. They got to find a way. They kept giving that little stack look, and one guy run inside, and other guy go. They when they drop over, he go up to the out, boom. and they were just they were killing them all day with it. They got to find a way to change that up.
We always say it's a copycat lead, and we were sitting there in the press box just calling out some of the things. Every time I saw him getting that bunch, I could just see where the defensive backs wasn't fully aware of what their job was to do. And it's not that they don't know their job, so don't quote me wrong. It's just knowing in that situation, what should I do? Should I box them? Should I stay man? Should I switch? You know what I mean? So they just got to get that communication down. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that coach is going to be showing them this film all week long, let them know, hey, this is going to beat us all year until we figure it out.
And Bemis, the things Tanner talked about in your experience, how do you pan those things out? How do you fix it? Because we have another road game coming up very quickly.
Yeah.
How do you fix that when you're on the road back-to-back?
Well, you just got to get better communication. Like, yeah. you find out. Look at the film and watch what they were doing.
Yeah.
You can cover that a different way. Sometimes don't pass them off. Go with them.
Yeah.
And it'll be better to make it look like a man and go with the guy so the quarterback doesn't see a wide-open guy running.
Yeah.
Because what they kept doing, they kept switching out. And every time they switched out, it seemed like both guys were wide open. You know, when you're just not 100% sure and you play a little hesitant, you allow guys to go out there and look more wide open than what they're supposed to be.
That was a really good breakdown from Santana Moss and Brian Mitchell from the postgame show that you can hear right here on 910 The Fan, Richmond's home for the Commanders. So, Stubb, from hearing from those two guys, all right, and they certainly know ball, I'm still hesitant to pick a side here in terms of is it a coaching issue or is it a player issue? I kind of think it's a player issue not executing. I understand what they're saying in terms of, you know, if you're thinking rather than reacting there and some of these guys don't know exactly where they're supposed to be, that seems to tend more towards a coaching thing. But my eye test is the eyes. Marshawn Lattimore sucks, right? That's not a coaching thing.
I think I do lean coaching here because most weeks Louvers look bad. Mikey seems like he's taking a step back. Bobby Wagner's looked worse. So many guys look worse, and I don't think everyone took a step back. When the whole team defensively takes a step back, it's hard not to look at schemes as being the answer to that.
Well, yeah, but we got to talk about the injuries, right? I mean, Will Harris was brought in to be the tight end stopper, and he's not there. That's not coaching, right?
I agree.
Look, we didn't have the right backup. I mean,
Dietrich Wise as well, right? But
Bobby Wagner not being able to guard Bijan Robinson, that's coaching right there, right? But at the same time, they don't have the players to back him up. He's playing 100% of the snaps because they don't trust Kane Medrano or anybody else.
Or Johnny Newton, I guess, who we just drafted. I don't know. I think at a point, you got to, for a couple snaps, trust these guys. Or you got to find a way to scheme to get these younger guys more snaps, to get them trained, to get them better. I'm not, like, saying take away the play calling yet. In the red flag right now on my brain is more pointed towards Joe Witt than the entire defensive player base.
Yeah, see, to me, it's more on the players. Like, and I'll be honest with you, like, Mikey Sanders show was really good last year, but he made mistakes at times. Like,
yeah,
there were plays
last year
in which he just couldn't simply defend on the outside, and we felt like, oh, well, maybe he's better on the inside. Lattimore, he was a problem last year. He's a problem this year. The scheme just can't help, right? If you can't stop a simply, like, a five-yard out, there's no scheme in America that's going to stop that. All right, it's simply he's not good enough. They weren't good enough at stopping the run. When Bijan's killing you and then they go to Algier and he gets 25 yards into the house, that's a defensive player personnel problem rather than a coaching problem in my mind. So, look, it's frustrating. But it's not doom and gloom. They're 2-2. You have two road losses. And now this is a big game, though, because I do not want to see this team go below 500. It's so crucial in the National Football League to stay at 500 or better. This is why this is such a big game Sunday. I mean, with the loss of the Falcons, this game is absolutely heightened in terms of its importance for this season. To stop a losing streak before it happens, let's get Jaden Daniels back. Let's start being able to throw the ball, get some explosive plays, and then defensively, we got to stop breaking down. We can bend, but you cannot break. Got to do better in the red zone. That was the difference right there. Was, oh, right, Jeremy Reeves makes the game-saving tackle. But then they still got in the end zone the very next play because Darnell Savage didn't know what they were doing. Right? Like, that we had chances to bend but don't break and to get stops in the red zone, and we didn't do it. And so, once again, it was just not complimentary football. I'm pretty sure, but I need to check on it. What happened the drive that Luke McCaffrey returned it to their side of the field? I think we settled for a field goal. Did we score a touchdown there? Like, they're just the little things that needed to be better in terms of complementary football. Marcus Mariota's interception was really bad. It was at a moment where you certainly could not have an interception. And then we get an interception, and we're like, all right, the momentum's back. And we go 2 yards forward in three different plays, and we settle for a long field goal. I said it on Friday, complimentary football, if we get short field, that's got to turn into 6 points.
That huge Luke McCaffrey run, we got down like 20 yards and then had a 3rd and 17 that we couldn't convert and kicked a field goal. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's not complimentary football. He returns to the other side of the field. That needs to be 6 points on the board. Absolutely. I'm Adam Epstein. You've been listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. For Hokie Steve and Stubb, we appreciate you listening to the show. Grant Paulson and Danny Ruye are coming up next. Stay locked to 910 The Fan. I believe they are going to air Dan Quinn's press conference. He will speak to the media at the podium at 3:30, and we should get an update, or at least some kind of notification from Dan Quinn about Jaden Daniels' health and his status for the following Sunday against the LA Chargers. I think he needs to practice Wednesday. I think he needs to be a full practice Wednesday to get the start, because the team is going to travel Thursday and have a practice Friday in LA. So stay locked for Dan Quinn at 3:30. For Stubb, I'm AWOD. You're listening to the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.